Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, we head into the radio vault for a series looking at the Olivet Discourse with Larry Spargimino and former host Noah Hutchings. We're less than a month away from our next in-person event, Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th in Bel Air, Kansas. Come hear Larry Spargimino, Greg Patton, Micah Van Huss, Larry Stamm, Josh Davis, Clayton Van Huss, and Rob Linstead. A one-world update will be shared, biblical mysteries will be revealed, and the latest update on what is happening in Israel will be shared. All this and much more will be covered at the Prophecy in the News Live event on May 3rd and 4th. Register today for this free event. Seating is limited, so don't delay. Visit the events page of our website, swrc.com, or you can register by phone, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Prophecy in the News Live, May 3rd and 4th at Sunrise Christian Academy in Bel Air, Kansas. Now, let's go back to 2010. And join Larry Spargimino and Noah Hutchings as they explain from the Scriptures the Olivet Discourse.
Dr. Spargimino and I are going to continue on the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. Of course, there is also an expanded Olivet Discourse somewhat as applying more to the church and Gentile world in Luke 21. But we're looking at the Olivet Discourse from the Jewish or Israeli position here. We were referencing Matthew 24, verses 9 through 11. I'll briefly reference those again. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hatred of all nations for my name's sake. And then many shall be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Now, Dr. Spargimino, we see here another reference to false prophets and false Christ, and Jesus started the Olivet Discourse out with a warning against it. But during the tribulation period, I think there will continue to arise false prophets, and the whole world will be deceived during the tribulation, except those who come to the knowledge of the truth. And, of course, many have been killed in wars. You know, in my lifetime, Dr. Spargimino, I think more Christians have been killed in my lifetime that have been killed since the time of Christ up to the time I was born. Because you think all the millions that were killed in Russia and in Mongolia and in China, the church does not emphasize that. How many have been killed by their own government? And so this comprehensive overview here of persecution. And, you know, recently Dr. Frank Graham became concerned because he was not allowed to speak at national prayer services. And he has warned that he thinks Christians will come under persecution before long. And I don't know but what I agree with him. But I think the main reference here is to those who will be killed during the tribulation period. Because in my book on Revelation, you know, I cover that. The terrible persecution that's going to come during this seven-year period where at least half the world's population will be killed. You know, my wife, Kim, worked in the killing fields in Cambodia, and seven of her brothers and sisters were killed. Half the people of Cambodia were killed by Pol Pot and his regime over there. But that is something that the Bible indicates may come upon all the world. And how can someone not go through that period, Dr. Spargimino, and not have to face this time?
Well, the Bible makes it very clear that if a person is saved, they have not been appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation, because the tribulation period, the period that we're reading about in Matthew 24, touching on what it means for Israel, that's a period of God's wrath on earth. So certainly we encourage each and every listener to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him. He is the Savior of those who believe. His precious blood can wash away all of your sins, those things that you are embarrassed about, those things that you'd rather forget. Well, God does not forget those things. But if you put your faith in Jesus, you will be saved. You know, Dr. Hutchings, one of the things that always happens when it comes to human nature is that we want to see who is looking. Have you ever noticed how, you know, you'll fall on the ice, for example. I remember riding my bicycle, and one day the wind blew me off, and the first thing I did, I was so embarrassed, I looked around to see if anybody was watching. You ever notice that? You make a boo-boo, and people are watching. You hope they're not. But you know, friends, that's very embarrassing. Yet we know that God is always watching us. God sees us. And so that's why we need to repent of our sins and turn to Christ. And when we do that, we become a friend of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And my, what a wonderful blessing it is to have your sins forgiven. Someone once said, you're not ready to live until you're ready to die. Well, when you trust Christ, you're ready to die, and then you can go on and enjoy that abundant life. You can have a great life of joy, of serving the Lord, of studying the Bible, of praising Him together with God's people. So that's the way we escape that awful time. Put your faith in Jesus. Believe on His name.
Yes, and let us continue now and read verses 12 and 13. And these are very important verses because so many misunderstand these verses, and some pastors who hold to certain doctrinal ideas use these verses to beat their membership over the head with. But we read verses 12 and 13. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, the end here means the end of the tribulation period. And in the tribulation period, faith is going to be tested. The Antichrist is going to kill everyone who will not take his mark and number. But those that endure until the end, meaning when Jesus comes back, and that's when He's coming back. This doesn't mean that you're going to have your salvation one day and lose it the next. It's eternal. I give unto them eternal life. If you can have it one day and lose it the next, then it's not eternal. So we have eternal life. And now we might lose fellowship with the Lord, and God may chastise us and bring us back into fellowship. Sometimes that's what it takes. But salvation is not the issue. It's enduring until the end of the tribulation. You have any comments here?
Well, I think what you're saying is absolutely true, because in Matthew 10, in verses 21 and 22, it says, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." And then it says, "But he that endureth to the end," that is the end of this period where there's going to be confusion and hatred of people, "he that endures to the end shall be saved," speaking about Israel in the future. But as you pointed out, you know, there's two ships that we have to be concerned about for Christians. Number one, there is relationship. Our relationship will never change. You know, I'm the son of my father, Lawrence G. Spargimino. That will never change. But then there's fellowship. That can change. In the church age, if we offend God, if we offend our Heavenly Father, we'll fall out of fellowship, but the relationship will endure, and we will get to heaven. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who say, yeah, we live by grace and we live by faith, but suddenly, when it comes to this whole issue of, quote, enduring to the end, they make their salvation dependent upon works. God is not impressed by our works. He's given us salvation as a gift. We've received the gift. We have a new nature. We are now His children. And that relationship with our Heavenly Father will never change.
Yes. We continue on in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now that is the end he's referencing in the preceding verses. The end of the tribulation. And this gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of the kingdom. Do you preach the gospel of the kingdom in your church?
No, I preach the gospel of grace to people living in the church age.
Now, what is the gospel of the kingdom?
The gospel of the kingdom is the hope of Israel, speaking about the millennial reign of Christ, when Jesus shall come back at Armageddon, shall destroy all of Israel's enemies, and set up the kingdom. That's the gospel of the kingdom. So that's not the hope of the church. That's the hope of Israel. And that's what the Lord is speaking about here.
Yes, and this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world for a witness. You know, God has always had witnesses in the world. Now, we read in the book of Revelation, and again, I would encourage you to write for a copy of my book on Revelation. We have a new edition just off the press. But the 144,000, you know, we read in the book of Revelation that God is going to seal 144,000 Jewish witnesses, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel. Now you might say, well, how can that be? We don't know what tribe they come from. Maybe not right now, but you know, they've given a DNA test to all the tribe of Aaron, the priest. And they can tell that whether they're full-blood Aaronic descendants or not. Also the Levites. I think they found out that the priests are 96% pure. I mean, not mixed with Gentile blood. The Levites, I think, are something like 82%, but the rest of Israel is only one-third pure Jews. And God is going to say one-third, we read. And that may have something to do with their ancestral purity, but we don't know, and we're not going to belabor that point. But it is possible to extend the DNA testing of all Israel. And if we don't know, we know that God knows anyway. So, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. And we read that the 144,000 are going to go throughout the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, Jesus sent 70 disciples out. He said, just go to Israel. Don't go anywhere else. And he gave them special powers. And they came back and said, hey, even the scorpions didn't bother us. And we read in the book of Revelation that these scorpions that come out of the bottomless pit is going to sting everyone in the world except the 144,000. They're going to have the same power that the 70 did that Jesus sent out. The 70 went out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The 144,000 are going to go into all the world to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Get ready. Jesus is coming back. And you need to repent of your sins. Don't take the mark of the beast. Don't worship the image of the beast. This relates to the tribulation period.
And yes, we know from Revelation 7 that these 144,000 Jewish evangelists will have great success, because after we have in the first 8 verses of Revelation chapter 7, we have the mention of the 144,000. Then in verse 9, Dr. Hutchings, as you well know, it says, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, not 144,000, but now a great multitude, which no man could number. And then it says, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. So, wow, what a time this is going to be, despite all the forces of evil that will try to suppress those who believe in Jesus, try to persecute them, try to destroy them. There's going to be a great and mighty revival during that period.
Continuing on now in verse 15, 16, and 17. And we'll go and read this whole next section that applies to the abomination of desolation. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea, meaning the area around Jerusalem, flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath days, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. Now, here we have something that's going to happen in Israel, I believe, at the middle of the tribulation period. Now, we read that the abomination of desolation prophesied by Daniel is going to happen. Now, what is the abomination of desolation, Dr. Spargimino?
My understanding of it is that, in fact, if you look at the language, the word desolation and abomination, it's speaking about the Jewish temple being defiled. In other words, it's something so repugnant that it desolates, meaning that the temple is no longer fit for worship. And as I understand this, Dr. Hutchings, I tie this in with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Antichrist is going to be in the temple. He's going to, up to that point, claim that he's entered into a covenant with Israel. He's going to protect the Jew. He's going to defend the Jew. He's going to be their friend and so forth. But suddenly, he does that which renders the temple totally unfit for worship in the sight of the Jewish people, and that is to proclaim that he, and not the true and living God, is God. And that's going to be so abominable, so repugnant, that it will be unfit for worship and for the honor of the true and the living God. And of course, as you pointed out, this is all Jewish, because it's speaking about in verse 16, then let them which be in what? Judea flee into the mountains. And then verse 20, it says, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Something else that is Jewish. And then verse 21 says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. For those folks who think we're in the tribulation, they need to look at this passage, don't they?
Yes, I think the Great Tribulation, of course, there's the Tribulation and there's the Great Tribulation. I think the reference here is to the last 3.5 years of the Tribulation. And that will be the time such as never was, nor ever shall be. And that's when the Antichrist will demand that everyone in the world take his mark and number and worship his image or be killed. Now, that was never possible until today, that everyone in the world, all races, nations, tongues, as we read in the book of Revelation, will be commanded to worship his image. In other words, people in Argentina or Russia or Iceland or New Guinea will be able to actually see his image. Now, on television, you see an image. You don't see the real person. You see an image, but everyone in the world will be able to see his image, and they will be commanded to worship him and take his mark and number or be killed. And in the book of Revelation, they're warned not to do that, or they'll be lost, eternally lost. So the abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist sets upon the Temple Mount and declares to all the world, I think over international television, that he is God and demanding everyone to worship him. Now we go back to the book of Daniel and we read that the Antichrist is going to divide the land of Israel for gain. And he's going to make a peace treaty of 7 years with Israel. And after 3.5 years, he will break the treaty and stop the sacrifice and oblation on the temple. And that's when he commits the abomination. That is the abomination when he stands in the Temple Mount. The period of desolation follows that, in which all the green grass is going to be burned up, one of the trees, fire from the skies, and all the waters is going to be contaminated. It could be a nuclear war. At least half the people in the world will be killed. The period of desolation follows the abomination of desolation. Now, it has to be done in the temple. Now, the Temple Institute has all the furnishings done. I'm an honorary member of the Temple Institute, although I'm a Christian. And I've, of course, seen all the temple furnishings. They're all made. They're ready. And there are signs on buses. Now, in Jerusalem, the temple must be rebuilt now. So there is a rising up in Israel that the temple needs to be rebuilt now. And I think pretty soon that there's some kind of agreement going to be worked out that they're going to put up the temple somewhere. And I think this is indication of the signs of the time. Mr. Obama is encouraging everyone, the nations, Israel, to divide the land and make up a nation for the Palestinians. And he's also encouraging a peace treaty. There is pressure on him to make a peace treaty with Israel and the Palestinians that would settle that issue there. So, we're living in interesting times, aren't we, Dr. Spargimino?
We sure are, and it's certainly imperative for each and every person to put their faith in Jesus. If you've already done that, be faithful and tell others about the Lord. He is your hope.
Larry and Noah will continue their look at the Olivet Discourse on our next program. If you'd like to dig deeper into the Olivet Discourse, let me recommend David Weber's book entitled Parables of the Olivet Discourse. Inside these pages, David Weber presents a collection of teachings on the parables of the Olivet Discourse. These parables focus on the anticipated return of the Lord to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth, signifying the core theme of the Olivet Discourse. The chapters featured in this book include the parable of the fig tree, the days of Noah, the parable of the one taken and the one left, the parable of the 10 virgins, parable of the talents, and the parable of the goats and sheep. Order your copy of David Weber's Parables of the Olivet Discourse today. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. That's swrc.com. The segment with Larry and Noah that we just listened to examining the Olivet Discourse was originally aired in 2010. With a present-day look at the Olivet Discourse, we now turn to staff evangelist Josh Davis.
Matthew 24, verse 40-42 says, "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." In this parable about these two women in the field and two women at the mill, was Jesus in any way referring to the rapture of the church? That's a question that's asked by longtime president of Southwest Radio Ministries, Dr. David Weber, and this is the next in a series of legacy devotionals that we are making available through Southwest Radio Ministries. This one is called The Parables of the Olivet Discourse, based out of Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. Jesus uses a number of parables in these two chapters to illustrate and to explain some powerful truths. And many people have taken these ladies, one taken at the mill and so forth, as being a picture of the rapture of the church. But is that what's really going on in this passage of Scripture? Dr. David Weber, in this fantastic resource, answers this question this way. It's a definite and a final no. There is nothing in this parable directly related to the translation of the church which occurs before the Great Tribulation begins. And certainly we believe that Jesus will come in the air and he'll catch away all Christians, living and those who are asleep in the grave before the judgment of the Great Tribulation falls. And so, like Enoch, Christians will be translated, but the parable of the two women has no relation to the rapture for the following reasons. And Dr. David Weber outlines several different reasons. I want to just give you a flavor of the kinds of reasons and the biblical basis he gives for answering this question. No, this is not a reference to the rapture of the church. There's something else going on here. Reason number one, Dr. David Weber gives in his resource, Parables of the Olivet Discourse. The subject matter here is judgment, not salvation. We read in the preceding verses that the flood came and took the ungodly away. Likewise, when Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation, two women will be in the field, one taken in judgment and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken away in judgment and the other left. We have to remember that the greatest judgment of the great tribulation will come at the end when Christ returns. Great earthquakes, the Battle of Armageddon, the terrible cosmic upheavals. Reason number two, that this is not the rapture of the church. You read again in Matthew chapter number 24 that the title of Jesus as he comes back to earth to reign and to rule the nations is always given as the Son of Man. Jesus is never called the Son of Man in his saving and his keeping power over the church, and he is never referred to as the Son of Man as he comes for the church in the air. He comes back to reign on David's throne as the Son of Man. But to the church, the citizens of heaven, he is the Son of God with power. In that verse, it says the word then, meaning at that time, one half of all remaining alive will be taken in judgment as the ungodly are taken away in the flood. And so we see that these are some reasons why this is not a reference to the rapture of the church. And this comes, as I said, as the next in line of these legacy devotional series. This one is close to 80 pages in length on the parables of the Olivet Discourse. It covers parts of Matthew chapter number 24, Matthew chapter number 25, and explains it in much the same language as what I have shared with you in this segment today. And we just encourage you to visit swrc.com or call 1-800-652-1144 and request Parables of the Olivet Discourse by Dr. David Weber.
If you would like to dig deeper into the Olivet Discourse, let me recommend David Weber's book, Parables of the Olivet Discourse. Inside these pages, David Weber presents a collection of teachings on the parables of the Olivet Discourse. Order your copy of Parables of the Olivet Discourse today. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow we continue our study of the Olivet Discourse with Pastor Larry and Noah Hutchins. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by visiting oneplace.com or by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. Visit swrc.com. That's swrc.com.